guest is Dr. Frank Turek. He is a faculty member at Summit Ministries, serves as president of Cross Examine, an organization that represents and presents powerful evidence for Christianity. And the question is, what does this resignation from Stephen Breyer mean? Well, doctor, good to have you here on the program. Good to see you again. Thank you for getting up and doing this. Stephen Breyer's 83. It will not change the balance of power on the court, and it gives Joe Biden a chance to fulfill one of his promises, that is to put a black woman on the United States Supreme Court. But it's not going to reset his presidency, as the Democrats are like, oh, this is going to help. It's not going to change the price of gas. It's not going to fill empty shelves at the grocery store. It's not going to stop inflation. It's not going to do any of these things. But let's talk about the court for a moment. Go ahead.
I was going to say, thankfully, Steve, at least we know that President Biden isn't trying to pick a diversity pick. I mean, he's really trying to get the most qualified person in the country to be on the Supreme Court, don't you think? I mean,
well,
just like he did with Senator Harris becoming the vice president. She wasn't a diversity pick, was she?
No, of course not. Well, isn't it interesting? It's not about your experience. It's not about your intelligence, your intellect, your understanding of the law. It's what you look like. Isn't that... And I've looked at some of these picks. I don't have a problem with that, right? I don't have a problem with the fact that they've got, you know, these qualified black women, the leading candidate,
right?
Harvard graduate, Ivy League, all of that. I have no problem with that. But just pick her out of the pool. Don't say, well, we're going to reduce the pool to just this little bit, and 80% of the people are going to be forgotten about. I mean, doesn't that sound like... I'd find that insulting. Frank, you're the best pick we've got. But, of course, we got rid of, you know, 4 out of 5 before we got here. That's just insulting, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is. And it seems to indicate that if somebody has a different skin color, that they couldn't make it on their own unless you take into account their skin color, which is insulting, I think. You know, Thomas Sowell famously said that when he was a professor at Cornell University, affirmative action actually hurt the minority candidates that were admitted to Cornell University because they would have been superstars at other schools, but they didn't quite meet the Cornell standards, and they floundered there at Cornell. He said it didn't help people. And as you know, Sowell was brought up in Harlem himself and basically self-taught his way into places that given his background, he probably didn't have an opportunity to get to. But he's a brilliant guy, and he points out affirmative action is not the way to go. It doesn't help minorities at all.
Yeah, and so you bring in an activist judge, which is, let's be honest, Stephen Breyer has been an activist far-left justice his entire career. The progressive media, he's a moderate, he's middle of the road. He's nothing like that at all. He's not a moderate, middle of the road guy at all.
Steve, you know what Justice Antonin Scalia said about a moderate interpretation of the Constitution? He said, what's a moderate interpretation of the Constitution? Halfway between what it means and what you want it to mean? No, the United States Constitution is a written document, and you can know what it says and what it means. And when you take an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, you're supposed to be defending the document as it's been written, not as you want it to be written, not as some political insight that you have or political desire you have might want you to have you interpret the document. You're supposed to interpret the document as it was intended. And if you want to amend the document, what you do is you go through the amendment process. That's why we have it. It's right there in the Constitution. But
that's not how it functions. That's not how it functions. You know that. You know that. You know that. And that's exactly what the Democrats want. The Democrats have spent my entire life. Democrats have used the courts to legislate through things they could never get through the legislature. All sorts of things they bring to the court. And the court ends up ruling and changing law and legislating from the bench. You've watched it your entire life. I've watched it my entire life. And so I look at, I mean, we're lucky, Frank. We are. Because just 3 or 4 years ago, we finally got a conservative court for the first time since 1933. For 80 years. For 80 years, it was liberal and left and, you know, giving us rulings that were bizarre sometimes, that allowed for the administrative state, that allowed for abortion, that allowed for all these. None of these things are in the Constitution, of course.
Of course not. Yeah, if they were, then then you could legitimately rule on them, but they're not in there. I mean, Steve, where is viability in the United States Constitution? Where is the word baby in the Constitution? Where is abortion in the Constitution? It's not there. You got to make it up. And that's why the left is so intent on getting these leftist activists on the court, because they want to bypass the American people and just impose their will, like they did on abortion, like they did on school prayer, like they did on Bible reading, like they did on same-sex marriage, like they do on virtually every controversial issue. They don't want to use the legislative process as the Constitution mandates. They want to bypass all that and say, here are five unelected people that are going to tell you how to live your life.
Right. So here's the question that I have for you. It's a strategic question now, Frank. Dr. Mm-hmm. Frank Turek here. And that is simply this. All right, so Mitch McConnell set up a situation where you have a split committee. Neither committee has the upper hand, and if they don't vote any nominee out of committee, the nominee would die in committee. If that happened, however, I believe you'd find weakness in Joe Manchin's knees and Kyrsten Sinema's knees, and they would buckle to things like the demands to end the filibuster and so forth. So there are political calculations to be made on both sides, are there not?
Well, as you know, Steve, the filibusters are relevant when it comes to Supreme Court nominees. Now, you just pointed out the real issue, and that is, can they get a candidate out of committee? You need 12 votes, and it's 11 to 11 right now. So if all the Republicans stayed together and said, wait, this guy or gal is too radical, we're not going to put him on the Supreme Court, they could just let it die in committee. Now, the problem
I understand
is
that. And I understand and I fully understand the filibuster is not part of this conversation. I'm talking about winning political points. And if they don't allow a nominee to come through, the leverage coming back at Mitch McConnell is either you do this or we're going to start doing these things because we're going to get Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema on board and we're going to win this thing if you don't play ball and let this nominee through. We've got 10 seconds. You know, I'll give you the last word.
I was in West Virginia not long ago, and I saw billboards congratulating Senator Manchin on protecting the right to life. It's a right to life state, West Virginia. He's going to be in trouble if he crosses that line.
Dr. Frank Turek, good seeing you, sir. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you, Steve. God bless.
There you have it.